You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to the first hour of the Civic Media Spotlight. Brian and Jamie talked to Steve Farr and Michael Volman, the makers of the upcoming documentary You, a film that follows legendary Brewers broadcaster Bob Uecker through the final years of his life.
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome back to Daybreak. I am Brian Noonan. Jamie's on vacation. Well, it's baseball season, and for the last couple years, it's been a little sad when you go to AmFam Field, or if you're listening to the game and you don't hear Bob Uecker's voice, because for over a more than 60-year career, Bob Uecker was not only Mr. Baseball for his legendary work in the Brewers broadcast booth, but he was also a national star. He used his quick wit and humor to go from major league backup catcher to become an actor, a talk show fixture, and now the subject of a brand new documentary called Uke. It made its world premiere last Thursday at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and I am joined by the men behind that film, Steve Farr and Michael Volman. They are the directors, the filmmakers that brought this film to life. They are also Milwaukee residents and grew up rooting for the Brewers, and they join me now. Guys, first of all, congratulations on the film and the world premiere last week, and thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Brian. Thanks for having us.
All right, thank you so much for having us.
You're very welcome. And either one of you, feel free to jump in on this one, because unlike some documentaries that are made after the subject has passed on, you guys had the privilege of being with Bob Uecker for the last 3 years of his life. So was it hard to convince Uke to let you follow him around with a camera and be the subject of a film, or did it come easy for him and for you guys?
You know, it was easier, I think, than we thought it was going to be. I'd worked on it. September Club, our production company, had a development meeting, and that was probably in the fall of 2022. We were trying to come up with some local subject to do a documentary about, because it'd, you know, be relatively easy to do it because we live in Milwaukee, and we wanted to do something maybe that kind of, you know, showed the community in its best light and that type of thing. And Bob Uecker came up as an option, and we just jumped at it because we thought this would be great. I think Michael originally didn't think it was going to be possible or might be difficult, but we did have a connection with him because I had worked on an ALS PSA with him during COVID. So anyway, we got through to him, and he said, let's get together in Scottsdale. And so we did that in December of 22. Had a lunch that, you know, lasted, we thought it'd be, you know, an hour and a half, and ended up being, I think, 4.5 hours, something like that. And it turned out he had already done his homework on us. He had vetted us. And so I think his mind was, as long as he didn't, you know, hate us, you know, I think he had already decided that we were probably the right people to work with. So that was great. It was a terrific lunch. And from there, yeah, we moved on to shooting.
It was a great, amazing experience, because it was a documentary that a lot of people had talked about making, but it seemed like, you know, a dream project that maybe we would never be able to do. And then suddenly we're like on an airplane, our airplane flying down to Arizona and meeting with them. And it happened really fast. Like, we got a hold of them, and suddenly we're shooting this documentary. So
now, Bob Uecker, obviously in Wisconsin, legendary, and he's known nationwide, worldwide. What is it about his story that made him such a fascinating subject for a documentary? Michael, you could start with this one.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, as we started doing research, and we knew a lot about him, but realizing how many lifetimes he lived in his career. I mean, being a professional baseball player and then doing stand-up comedy and ending up on the Johnny Carson show. I mean, that itself is kind of amazing. And the fact that he was on that show more than almost anybody. Mm-hmm. In the history of the Tonight Show, and then to kind of become part of the zeitgeist, and some of his catchphrases and things like from the Miller Lite commercials, "I must be in the front row," and yep. Just a bit outside from Major League. I mean, some of his catchphrases became part of the zeitgeist. So We knew all those things, and but wanted to connect all the dots, and then also introduce the audience to a more personal side of Uke, which you know, get to know him a little bit more.
Well, the really personal side came because you were filming the documentary when Bob got his cancer diagnosis. How did that change, if it did at all, the direction of the film? You guys had a plan when you went in, but how did this make you have to adjust? And how did he adjust to now all of a sudden dealing with this news and also having a camera crew following him around?
Right. Well, yeah, it was relatively early. I can't remember exactly, but I imagine it was, you know, early in the 2023 season, you know, maybe in May or something, that Bob gave me a call and told me what was up. And, you know, I just kind of said, well, you know, what does that mean for the documentary? We'll do whatever you feels right. And he said, well, you know, just I may not have as much time to spend with you guys, but we had shared a just a list of different scenarios and things that we were going to try to do with him. And it was probably 10, 12, you know, items long. And he just said, you know, we're not going to be able to do everything right away, but I'm going to try to, you know, knock everything off the list. And you know, we didn't do everything, but we did enough. And all the time that we had with him was amazing.
And Michael, what you chose 2024 that season to make it kind of the backbone of the film. How did that work to lay the rest of the narrative around? Why the 2024 season?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, I mean, the Brewers have been very good, you know, over the course of the last decade, I'd say. And that's amazing. And there was, I think in the back of a lot of people's minds was the thought, will Bob Uecker see a World Series? You know, everybody was hoping that that could happen. So that was one of the reasons. The other reason was just because to see Bob do what he does and to see him fighting through this cancer diagnosis. I mean, the fact that he went to the ballpark as often as he did and called so many games, I mean, is phenomenal. I think letting fans sort of see how dedicated, how much he enjoyed the ballpark, how much it was a refuge from other personal things in his life, those were all important. And that kind of made it obvious to sort of make the 2024 season part of that narrative.
Steve Farr and Michael Volman are my guests. They are the filmmakers behind Uke, the new documentary about Bob Uecker. You can go to ukemovie.com. So you guys interviewed for the film a lot of really high-profile baseball folks, and they all had glowing things, obviously, to say about Bob Uecker. Were any of their stories a surprise to you where you went, oh, we didn't think you were going to say something like that? Did anything jump out? Oh, I stumped the band.
Yeah, you may have stumped the band.
They haven't heard that one yet. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Wait, we didn't rehearse for this one. No. Yeah, I don't know if there was anything super surprising. I think, and you know, one of the nice things with it is that it was more. It confirmed a lot of our thoughts about Bob and is like you can't. Sometimes they say you don't want to meet your heroes, right? And in this case. You know, Bob was kind of everything we hoped he would be. And in the interviews, the people, you know, a lot of people just got emotional. I mean, when we would kind of always ask the question, you know, Bob's 90, you know, he's not going to do this forever. You know, what's that day going to be like? And everybody would pause. And I kind of have a hard time answering that question.
Yeah, a lot of tears, you'll see a little bit of that question.
Film. Yeah.
So I mentioned that the film had its world premiere last Thursday at the Milwaukee Film Festival. You also showed a 20-minute preview on opening day at AmFam Field for lifelong Brewers fans and Milwaukee guys. Tell me about that experience, both of those experiences, and what it meant to you to see this work and tribute to Bob Uecker come to life.
I mean, to be on the field to show that preview was pretty cool. I mean, we were literally standing on the field. And so, you know, we've had the opportunity to go on the field a little bit, shooting and stuff like that. So it's always an amazing moment. It's sacred ground, it kind of feels like. But to see the reaction of people in a 20-minute excerpt, to see how you know, how much laughter there was, and then there was tears and laughter, and just people really seeming to enjoy themselves and glowing. I mean, that was amazing. And then to have the premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival. There's, you know, those two great institutions of Brewers baseball and Milwaukee Film Festival has become such a great institution in Milwaukee. And then see my two loves of baseball and film coming together was just an amazing, amazing night.
How about for you, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, certainly a night to remember. I mean, this is something I've had a production company, Purple Onion, in Milwaukee for 39 years, you know, doing mostly marketing work. And so, you know, I didn't anticipate doing this at this point in my life. And so it was kind of great to be around friends and family and, you know, just seeing how well the film went over. It kind of like, you know, it hit in all the right spots, everything we kind of hoped it would do, it did do. And then to see, you know, to share that evening with the Uecker family and members of the Milwaukee Brewers and to see how moved they were by the film. And well, I think we've been talking about the tears and the sadness, but there's so much laughter. And so that was just really gratifying to be, you know, around 1,000 people. It was two theaters. Wow. That were packed that night. So we had to do multiple introductions, and the Q&A went great with Josh Maurer. So I don't know. It was just kind of a perfect evening.
It sounds terrific. Now, when somebody is in our homes as much as Bob Uecker was, you know, 60 years, whether it's listening to Brewers games or seeing him on TV, we feel like we know him. Is there one thing that you think viewers of Uke, the documentary, are going to be surprised by? Because we all think we know Bob Uecker's story, but there's got to be something, right?
I think the one thing that we always heard the story about when Bob was in the 1964 World Series with the St. Louis Cardinals, and there was an incident where he had picked up a tuba and picked, you know, so the band was on the field. He picked up the tuba and he started trying to shake fly balls with you know, with the tuba, and, you know, kind of put some dents in it. And it was a great, gets a lot of laughs, and there's some amazing pictures and everything. But as we did interviews, we kind of realized that actually that was something that he regretted, because the manager didn't like that too much, and basically decided he wouldn't be playing in the World Series.
Yikes.
And so that was something that surprised us. You know, he does play a lot of things as laughs, but that was a regret I think he had, that he picked up the tuba.
Well, that makes sense. Before we let you guys go, any plans for distribution? Where, if people miss the world premiere at the Milwaukee Film Festival, where can they see Uke?
Well, right now we've got a deal with Marcus Theaters to do a statewide exclusive release. It should be in most theaters, Marcus Theaters, in July.
Nice.
Probably late in July. And, you know, we'll see what happens after that. Certainly we're, you know, open to a streaming deal, and, you know, maybe there's some film festivals down the road. But right now, I mean, the easiest way will be to wait until July and check it out at one of your Marcus Theaters.
Well, it sounds great, and I saw the teaser, and everything looks terrific. Congratulations on a wonderful project and a very fantastic tribute to a legend here. Steve Farr and Michael Volman are the men behind Uke Movie. It's just called Uke, but go to ukemovie.com, and you can learn all about it and find out. Gentlemen, thanks for being here today. Congratulations again, and continued success with the film.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Brian.
You are very welcome. All right. Well, listen, wait till July. Make your plans now. I'm sure you'll be able to buy your tickets in advance, because if based on the film festival, the showings will sell out. So get there. Big meteor shower. We're going to talk about that and so much more when we come back on the other side. Again, ukemovie.com is where you can find all the information about the documentary. 7:50. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin Wakes Up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Glad you're with us everywhere along the network. And if you are listening on WMDX, like Tom is in Jackson, We will be saying goodbye to you at the top of the hour unless you listen to the Civic Media app. You can download that quickly for free, and then you can listen to us in the final hour if you decide that today's not the day you want to stick with Stephanie Miller and you want to see what we're up to in the final hour of the program. You can do that again. Just download that free Civic Media app, and oh my goodness, I will follow you everywhere. It'll be a little creepy at first, but you'll get used to it. Yeah. You listen. You can listen to me.
I never thought of it that way.
Well, imagine, Parker, if you're, you know, getting out of the shower, listening to the app, and there I am. Yeah. You're taking your kids to school. There I am.
Yeah. Your soothing voice narrating the day.
My dulcet tones getting you ready for another fantastic Tuesday here in the Dairyland of America, Wisco.
Lovely.
I still don't call it Wisco.
No one calls
never
it Wisco.
Call it Wisco.
Nope.
We were talking about the Bob Uecker documentary. Uecmovie.com is where you can go to find out. And again, it'll be at Marcus Cinemas throughout the state in July. So keep your eye open if you want to see that. Right now, that is, obviously with any film, they're working on other things. But at least you know that you can see it in July at the theater with like-minded folks. That'll be a lot of fun. And Tom, who I mentioned was listening on WMDX, says, summer's just not the same without hearing you call the Brewers games. And Tom, you are not alone in that feeling. We were all fascinated by space a couple weeks ago with Artemis 2. Remember that? Oh, man, we sent people up past the moon, the farthest that a human being has ever gone around the moon. I'm still all a Twitter about it. I loved it. Well, now this is another celestial event that you can be part of. The Lyrids meteor shower is coming, and you'll be able to watch it from Wisconsin. But my question to you is, whether it's the Northern Lights, whether it's a meteor shower, all of these things, what is your favorite place to stargaze? Maybe you have a dark place near you. You might want to keep it a secret, but we'd love it if you shared it with us. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because we're all going to be looking skyward starting tomorrow on Earth Day. Wisconsin Sky Watchers will have their best chance to see the annual Lyrids Media Shower on Earth Day, which is tomorrow, and the forecast could set up for an especially striking display this year. Now, the meteor showers, the Lyrids showers, usually last from April 15th to the 29th, but they're going to peak on April 21st and 22nd this year. That's today and tomorrow. Tomorrow is Earth Day. Under ideal conditions, the Lyrids shower rains down 10 to 15 meteors per hour. I have never seen a meteor shower, but I want to. Yeah. I will be out tomorrow night. The Lyrids fall on a waxing crescent moon just before midnight on April 21st into 22nd, when the moon sets before morning and the sky will be the least obscured. According to the Milwaukee Clear Sky Chart, Wednesday, April 22nd, we'll have almost zero cloud cover all day and night, setting up a great view for those who can get away from light pollution. That's always the tricky part. Now, the good news is, in Wisconsin, especially for the Northern Lights, there were a lot of places just outside any city or town where it gets really dark really fast. So we all should be able to get a good look if we can. So the Lyrids are remnants of Comet C-1861 G1. That's your favorite comet, isn't it, Parker?
That is. It's the only one I can remember the name of.
Sure. The Comet C-1861 G1 Thatcher. When Earth comes into contact with the comet's debris stream every April, the debris creates a meteor shower in the atmosphere. I did not know any of that. So, how should you watch it here in Wisconsin? It will start to become visible once the Vega constellation rises.
Of course.
There's like three people who go, all right, check.
Yep.
And everybody else is like, huh? Well, the Vega constellation will rise above the northeast horizon, usually between 9 and 10 o'clock. That makes it easier for 90% of us or more. Oh, 9 and 10 o'clock. I understand that part.
Yeah.
The best viewing period will be right before dawn. So when we're coming to work. When we're coming to work.
There we go.
The moon is going to be hidden and the Vega star radiant point is bright overhead. Meteors may be visible all night, but will be most frequent when the radiant point is highest in the sky. If you are an astronomy or a buff, please let us know what any of that means. I will be, because knowing me, I'll be looking to the northwest. I know where the northeast is, so that I get.
Yeah.
I know 9 and 10 o'clock and just before dawn. I understand that. I probably, good. See, this is where Jamie would have had a 5-minute dissertation on the Vega Star Radiant.
Oh, I'm sure.
Me, yes. I just like to admit that I have no idea what it is. And because, quite frankly, I'm a man of the people, Parker. And I think most of the people that I am a man of also don't know what the Vega Star Radiant is.
My people just say, look up, there's stuff moving up there. And then, you know what? I get that.
That is the most comprehensive instruction list I have ever heard. And I like it because it's clear. It tells me exactly where I have it. Like, I'm looking down. Is that right? No. I said, look up and turn a little bit to your right. Okay. Now, keep looking up. All right. What am I looking for? Stuff that's moving. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. And I say, if you can't find it, take out the variable of like standing and looking in one direction. Just lay down, look straight up.
Yeah.
That's easiest.
Wow.
I really thought this out, Brian.
You're painting a wake and bake dream. Dude, wow. Just go out on the lawn. Go out to the woods, lay down, look up at the sky, man.
Yeah,
things
man.
Gonna be swirling about you.
Yeah,
this is celestial bodies, brah.
Be cool, just let man.
Become one with nature. That's how we do. All right, so that's tomorrow night. Good luck. And here's the other thing: you can say you see it even if you didn't, because nobody can fact check you.
Oh,
so I do not promote lying, but. Whatever. Good luck. All right, when we come back, there's headlines, there's stuff you need to know, and there's the big third hour of the broadcast. WMDX, we'll talk to you tomorrow, but you can always listen on the app. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak and the Civic Media Network.
We stay right here on the Civic Media Spotlight with Daybreak with Brian and Jamie. There is just Brian today, and there is no company that is coming forward with a new solution to the issue of data centers. Why not put them in the ocean and use the waves to create their own energy?
Good morning.
Good morning.
We've talked the whole night through.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Good morning and welcome. Glad you are here. It is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie will rejoin us next week after a restful vacation. Frank, our executive producer, and Parker, our technical producer, are here with me. As always, good to see you boys. And if you want to get involved, especially now because Frank has another beef. This week, Frank has been unleashed and likes to get his grievances aired. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Morning, boys. How are we today? Okay,
doing well.
Thanks. Yeah. Let's move on.
I just answered.
All right. Everybody's doing fine.
Give me
fine.
A slight delay. We're all great.
Yeah, good. What's your...
I
am coming off a day. I'm not going to get into all the details because it's very early in the morning. Let's just say I had an invasive medical test yesterday that left me feeling violated and made me very much more sympathetic to ladies and stirrups yes. Mm. So we'll leave it at that. But I am here and I'm ready to go. But yesterday, and I don't know why this came up. But Frank, you brought something up, and it seemed got you a little revved up.
So, I had a new coffee mug yesterday. We were talking about
it.
You did.
Right?
It's very fancy.
You might have heard us in between breaks if you're on the live stream. And Brian said, wow, Frank, that's a fancy coffee mug you got there. And I said, well, Brian, thanks for noticing. We just went to my parents' house, and we got the rest of our... Would you call it China?
Yes.
Our tableware? I don't know.
Yes, China. That looked like China to me. That was not a, you know, Kmart coffee mug.
It was from Crate and Barrel. It's nice.
Okay, it's very nice. Yes, your table,
Here's the deal. When you go and get married and you put stuff on your wedding registry, everything comes in like sets of 8.
Yes.
So I don't need 90% of that as I'm in my 20s
living in an apartment.
This is fair.
You're not having giant dinner parties?
I'm not having
where you're having three course and then coffee.
You're not having giant dinner parties. So there's like two or three boxes of stuff in my parents' basement for years. Going on 4 years now of stuff that I just don't need right now. And as I'm going through it this past weekend, I'm like, what is this? As my wife's next to me. She goes, oh, don't you remember? So-and-so got that for us. I was like, no, this is ours?
mine.
Some stuff I was like, why is this even down here? Why don't we have it in our place? And then some stuff, as I'm pulling out plate after plate after plate, I'm like, why the hell do we need all this?
Well, obviously you're going to have the whole show over for dinner.
So which I will. Now you have enough, I like you guys. But most people I want out of my house.
No, I don't blame you. Yeah. It's amazing. Now, how long have you been married?
3 years. Going on 4.
All right. Very recent. Registries have changed so much. Saturday, I will have been married 34 years, which is amazing. Because the old joke is I could have killed her and been out of jail by now. But 34 years ago, when you registered for, and it's always been that way. You go and if you're not clear on what that is, when a couple's getting married, they go around to certain stores and they make a list of things that they would like. Because people are always like, oh, what do you want for a gift? Well, here's a list, and it makes it easy. And there's usually a wide range of prices because some people maybe want to go. A lot of times people will go in with other couples or other family members, and they'll get something a little bigger and all of that. But when I registered, my wife and I, it was a lot of china and crystal. So we have a 12-piece, we have service for 12 in Waterford crystal in 3 different size glasses.
Plus 12?
Many, yes, that's Frank, you had to have people. 12.
Gentlemen, do you, here, let me ask you this question.
Because you always thought you were going to have a big dining room, which we did for a while, and we used it, I don't know, a couple times.
I was going to ask you, do you even own a table to seat 12?
Not anymore. No, not anymore. At one point we did. And what, like I said, I think we used it twice for a big giant holiday dinner. No, now we're lucky to, you know, we do occasionally bring out, like, here's the Waterford we use so far. On we have a couple rocks glasses that we use, a couple Irish coffee glasses, and some whiskey sniffers. Or whiskey taster glasses that we use on the reg. Everything else is in boxes downstairs. We have a 12-piece place setting of beautiful Noritake china that we, I don't think, have ever used. Or maybe we've used once or twice in 34 years. We also now downstairs have my aunt's china and crystal, which was supposed to go to Molly, which Molly does not want. We have some of my... I think either we have it or somebody else took it. My mom's china and crystal. And here's the problem. You can't resell it because young people don't want all that stuff.
No.
Yeah.
Molly is starting to get the gifts for her showers. And it's no crystal. It's no china. You know, there's all kind of crap. I told you guys yesterday she got it came to the house, a towel warmer, which made Parker insane.
Dude, that is insane. I cannot believe towel that is why? The softest. What do you mean why? Parker? You don't need a soft. Warm towel.
You don't need it, Parker, but
what? Hold on
a second.
Wouldn't
it be nice to have it? I don't know. I don't
know. No. Hold on.
Go ahead.
I don't think Brian's daughter is worried about someone calling her soft.
No.
She's not an offensive lineman in high school getting yelled at by her O-line coach.
And I would imagine my future son-in-law likes a nice cozy towel. But
of course he does.
To Parker's point, I had the same reaction.
It's very unnecessary.
Because the gift was sent here. Not unnecessary because my first reaction was, oh my God, she forgot where she came from. And my wife was like, yeah, have you met her? And so we were joking about her being bougie. And then my wife said, well, we registered for some just fun stuff. And I'm thinking back, I go, What fun? You didn't register for fun stuff 34 years ago. I think the most outrageous was a little Cuisinart food processor that we still have and I still use 34 years later.
There you
Shout out Cuisinart.
Wow.
You're making
back
a quality
in the day.
Product. Yeah, that stuff lasted. But yes, I mean, so it came and I immediately was like, oh, it's for robes and towels and they could be nice and toasty warm. But I'm like, okay.
Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be over there and you're going to use it once.
Oh, it won't be in a bathroom where I have access to.
You're going to use it one time and you're going to love it.
Yeah, you are.
I'm sure it's lovely. I have, see, I'm to the point now where I'm very laissez-faire in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants a warm towel. Good for you. I'm glad. You registered for it. Somebody saw it. You didn't put a gun to anybody's head to make them buy it. They went, oh, this sounds like a fun gift. This is what I want to give them for the shower. And now they have it. It sits on a nice, it's white ceramic, sits on a nice beechwood base. And it'll, you know, and all their towels. But here's the problem. You can only use a towel once then. I leave my towel. I use my towel and I probably shouldn't leave it this long, but like, you know, a few days, maybe a week, use the towel. Yeah.
That's healthy.
I would agree.
Yeah. Fine. So what am I going to put a damp towel in there and then start steaming? Now I'm making soup out of my gunk that's on the towel. That sounds awful.
That's a pretty sight there, Mr. Noonan.
Well, good morning. Enjoy your coffee.
855-752-4842. What's the is it crazy or is it the dumbest item that you put on your wedding
or
registry?
Or maybe just the most luxurious, the one that was, outside the lines. Could be considered crazy, could be considered dumb, could be considered bougie. I'm trying to think what else, because I saw on there, I saw the registry, but I don't get involved in all that.
You don't? Oh, I'm nosy. Well, I love to see what people put on.
I'm looking through a registry right now because I just RSVP'd for a wedding over the weekend.
Ooh, give it to us, Parker.
Yeah.
What do they got?
They got anything good?
I mean, it's all kitchen stuff. There is a cozy table lamp. Sustainable mood is what this says.
A cozy table lamp?
Yes.
Like for your dinner table?
Like a mood lamp?
No, it's a mood lamp. Yes. Here, I'll get up in here. And
that's not helping us. Okay. Yeah. Like accent lighting.
Yeah, it sets the mood.
Kind of like a lava
lamp.
Room.
Yeah, a little bit like that. Yeah.
Waste of a wedding registry item. Continue.
Well,
yeah, but what if somebody only wants, I don't know how much, what's that run, Parker?
$48.88.
All right, if somebody wants to give it as a shower gift, $49 is not a bad amount
for
a shower.
It's not, but I feel like you're running out of ideas.
Oh, certainly. Well, judging by how many cups are in here, yes.
That's okay. Thank you. That's another thing I want to get to. My advice, if there are any young people,
or if you know any young people,
16 in the morning listening to this show,
or your children are about to engaged.
This could just be for Parker.
Give it to me.
You're going to feel the need to put on every type of cocktail glass on your wedding registry. Rocks glasses, Collins glasses, red wine glasses, white wine glasses. You do not need all of them.
No.
And if you do put them on your list, you only need up max of four each.
Right.
But they all come in sets of eight. Ugh. So I don't need eight Collins glasses. The Rocks glasses will get to put to
Rocks
use.
Glasses you use. I would say Rocks glasses and just a generic wine glass.
The
unless
white
you're
wine
a
glasses,
sommelier. What's the difference between a white wine and a red wine glass?
White wine is smaller. Red one's like a deeper bowl.
Why? So you get more of the aroma?
I don't know, dude.
You did wine tasting.
If you want to aerate, get yourself one of those decanters.
You went once in Paris, though.
Yeah.
Well,
and
I've been to wine tastings. I don't know. I don't know what the glassware.
And I made this joke yesterday.
Talk to me about beer glasses. I know beer glasses.
Oh, you do know that.
See, there you go. And I made this joke yesterday while driving cars because I was driving a car that was 10 years older than the one I currently drive. And I said, this is like going to wine tasting for the first time where they give you a glass of wine. You're not used to drinking it. And they go, and how do you like this $100 glass of wine? And you go, it's good. And then they go, what about that one? And it's like barefoot. And you go, that one's good too.
Exactly.
I don't know.
I don't know. What do you want?
It's good. It does the trick.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I can't remember. There's some glassware on her registry. There were some, I think some dishes, but maybe eight was the top or four. I don't know. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, she did take one set of, for some reason, well, I know the reason. My mom gave it to us because she had always wanted it. There's a Thanksgiving china And last year, since Molly hosted, she said, can I have this china? And we're like, yes, please take it.
You take it. It is all yours.
You take it, because that means we're coming to your place for Thanksgiving. That'll be lovely. So go ahead. All right. When we come back, you know, data centers. Oh, man, everybody's worried about data centers. It's on every ballot. People are debating it. What if there was an option for a data center that was clean, didn't take up all the land near you, and you didn't have to worry about it? It was somewhere else that wouldn't bother anybody. Parker showed me this story. I think it's a great one. We're going to get to that on the other side. And I want your answer to, would the option of having data centers in the ocean make them more attractive to you? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan, and you are listening, as always, to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, this is Wisconsin's Morning Conversation. Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning. Welcome. Glad you are here. 855-75-CIVIC is how you get a hold of us. If you call in, be nice to Parker, because to get to me, you got to get through him. 855-752-4842. Would the option of having data centers in the ocean make them more attractive to you? Because, you know, there are so many things to debate when it comes to data centers, and we hear about it all the time. It seems like it's monopolizing the news. It's either the current administration or data centers. That's what people are talking about, especially here in Wisconsin, where you've got, you know, cities voting on these and public hearings, and are there secret deals? We're always hearing about it. And then we hear about mostly how much power they need, how much carbon pollution they create, how much energy, water they're going to use, what they're going to do with all the waste, all of this. Okay. So Parker, who is young and idealistic and cares about the planet and the people on it, sends me this yesterday, and I found it fascinating. So there is a new company that wants to, the company is Panthalassa, and they are out of Vancouver, Washington. Garth Sheldon Coulson is the CEO. He wants to address the problems of data centers, the land, the energy, the carbon footprint, with a new source of energy, wave energy. You know, I know the president doesn't like wind energy. We haven't heard him weigh in on wave energy, which is the ocean. It's basically it. They're going to put these things in the ocean. Now, I'll explain how they're going to do it, because I think it is fascinating. And from what I read yesterday, I don't really see a problem with it, but I want to hear from you too. Listen to some of this and then let me know if this is more attractive to you for data centers. So he said, Garth Sheldon Coulson, the ocean is really unlimited in terms of how much energy is available. It will really be the cheapest energy on the planet. So he compared Panthalassa's test model, the Ocean 2, to a floating hydroelectric dam. He says as it goes up and down with the waves, it causes the water that's in the tube to be forced up to the top. Once it's in the ball, now this is, you have to picture, it's kind of like, I don't know, like an upside, it looks almost like an upside down bowl with a tube coming out of the top of it. The water is forced through a turbine, the turbine spins, and that's what makes the electricity. So using a model of the latest design, the Ocean 3, he explained the most surprising part. There is no anchor and no cables. So it is a self-propelled system that is not tethered to the ocean floor. It's like a little Roomba, except it's enormous. So I don't have a Roomba, but I know what a Roomba is. They just zip around. Now, I can already hear critics going, well, aren't they going to get in the way of shipping lanes and blah, blah, blah? Maybe. But it could be figured out. That doesn't seem like the most pressing question, because quite frankly, the oceans are ginormous. There's the biggest obvious understatement of, I think, the week so far. Ooh, did you hear what Brian said? Hot take. He said the oceans are enormous. That guy, he goes out on a limb. He's not afraid of what people think. He'll say what we're all thinking. Yeah. So just think, there's no cable to bring power back to the shore either. So in essence, these are floating data centers. They generate power from the waves, process AI computing tasks on the spot, and send the answers by satellite. When you deploy many of our systems, he said, they work together basically as a data center. So we think of it as a really good alternative to data centers on land. Now, again, I'm not an engineer. I'm not an environmental scientist. I don't see a difference, because the land mass is limited, especially when you go into some of these smaller communities. So if you are able to offshore these, you're not going to lose all the jobs. You will lose some, but these things still have to be manufactured and maintained, and they have to, you know, somebody has to be monitoring the programs and all of that stuff. So there still will be jobs created. It's just not taking up farmland. It's not causing your power costs to skyrocket, which is one of the biggest concerns. So he says Panthalassa has all of the private funding it needs because it offers AI companies a quicker, cleaner way to get power than building data centers on land. Construction of the Ocean 3 is already underway. Sheldon Colson expects them to be operating offshore by around August of this year. These are the advantages: clean, no fuel, no land use, no getting in the way of other activities on land, very fast to scale. Now, that sounds pretty good. So it means somebody's going to try to squash this, because any good revolutionary idea that is going to cut into somebody else's money gets squashed. I hope this does not. I would like to do a little more. I'd like to see a couple in action so they can say, yes, that now we've gone from the models and the testing and the theories to actually having, if by August we start seeing them and they work, what's the drawback? Now, I'm sure ocean activists would say, well, we know what the drawback is. The drawback is that you're taking up valuable ocean space. And I would say, well, yes. Which is more impactful to people on a daily basis? Is it that we have floating data centers in the ocean, or that we take up hundreds of acres of land in your county that then is going to be an eyesore, going to raise everybody's energy rates? We don't know the long-term effects of what a data center in your town will have, whether it's environmental, health, anything else. So why not try something new? That's where you young people come in, Parker. I am counting on the young generation to get these kind of things done. My generation, we're out. You want to put us out to pasture anyway. So you guys are in charge. Get this done. Get things taken care of. All right. Are shorter lines at the airport worth more funding for ICE? That is your question. We will talk about that and so much more when we return on Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.